Hey, we're going to expedite the time real quick. And grab your Bibles. And we're going to go back through our foundational scriptures. Psalms 37, we'll start there. And then we'll go a few other places. Psalms 37 and 5, we're talking about wholly committed to the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So without trust, there is no commitment. You can have your seat. Without trust, there is no commitment. Like a people who, if you don't trust your spouse, your marriage is already over. Do you know that? Maybe that's my area today. If you don't trust them, that marriage is already over. Because you're not going to be committed in other areas in that relationship. And so it is the same thing with commitment to God. If you don't trust him to be your Alpha and Omega, if you don't trust him to be your healer, if you don't trust him to be Jehovah Jireh for you, you don't give, you won't tithe, you're not going to do any of that stuff. If you don't trust him to be your banner of victory, when opposition come up against you, you running because you don't like opposition. Let me tell you something. Anything that you ain't willing to fight for, you ain't willing to keep. And you're not going to break through certain barriers because the devil know when you're in a place where your life can really change. He knows what it's going to take to really change people's lives. And again, he's going to position demonic opposition right at the place of your breakthrough. Because he knows most people, as soon as they start going through, they're not going to go no further. Why? Because they, and typically, can you, as I put the slides up, I mean the scriptures up, just leave them up until I go to someplace, another scripture. But he know you're not going to fight for it. And the more you fight, and the more you say, I'm just going to hunker down, say, I'm going to buckle down, you're going to experience victories in your life that you never even got through. Like that educational piece for some of you, that is your key to change. You live in one of the most wealthiest cities in the country. I mean, outside like places like San Diego or Los Angeles or New York. So if you're competing for employment or competing for houses. Do people compete for houses? Yeah. I don't care if you got a bid in or not. If I put $50,000 more on the tab, who are they giving it to? You're competing for homes. You're competing in many cases for your health sometime. When you get a negative doctor's report, I have to be willing to fight or go after it. Least I'll let an unsaved person tell me how healthy I can be. Right. Say, healing is my bread. And you got to put forth effort to get to this. But what I was saying about education, that's your key. That's your change. At some point, you have to go after that or get your certifications, get your qualifications. And when you get your job, you're going to have your inspiration. You're going to like getting up and going to work every day. Somebody, your life is changing. That's your word right there. Because you're in a place where God wants you. I told my wife, had I stayed in South Carolina, I'm not preaching right now. I was a drill sergeant, then I became a first sergeant. But then, you know, even during that time, I was using it as an excuse, but really I probably could have made it every Sunday. I had already started missing church. That was the signal that was no place for me. I'm going to help somebody up in this place. That wasn't no place for me because it was canceling out my destiny. And you know what God did? He never put a desire in my heart to buy a house there, because houses sometimes lock you into locations once you get a mortgage, definitely a mortgage, sometimes till you die. And God got me out of that place. And when he did, he put me on a path to listen, to let me know you're not healthy. Don't walk around out here looking for no church. Let me lead you to a church, because you already was missing church. You was missing instructions. You were missing revelations. Before you know it, you ain't even going to be in nobody's church. Say, time is of the essence. You don't wait till tomorrow to commit to God, because the devil will cancel your future. Say, holy committed. I'm preaching already. He'll cancel your future because you start messing around out here. And I'm going to deal with this a little later. But Sister Brooks, the real reason wasn't because I was necessary in sin that people think. I was in a different kind of sin. I was just upset with God and people. And I was thinking, I'm not fooling with church people no more. I said, I ain't fooling with church people no more. Because watch this. I thought I could live saved without y'all, but I couldn't. See, many people think they can live saved by themselves, but life proves different to you. That there are some things in your life you need somebody to surround you and pull you out the grips of hell before the devil really do to you what he wants you to do. And sometimes you ain't healthy enough or strong enough to even defend yourself. And you say, I need you to survive. Oh, yeah. You need somebody to survive. And so this commitment to God being holy, he brought me to a place I was committed to him. Treating me. Even they're bad, not as bad as they tried to treat my wife. And I'm like this, you can't have the preacher without the preachette. You're not finna treat my wife any kind of way or my family any kind of way. Say amen or oh my. You don't own us up in here. So when we think about this thing, God has been telling us that this is going to be a great year for us. And I think everybody can kind of sense it, even right now. I could tell the way people was praising God this morning that you already know that this is what God is teaching us for this year. You already can feel it. And I wasn't kidding. I wasn't trying to be sound funny or deep when I was telling you somebody, you stepped into a different place in God because your prayers lifted you out of where you was currently at and put you in a place where God wanted you at, because your praise changed and shifted something for you this morning. So he said, we can go into this place. We can get some things. It's supposed to be success, that he's changing boundaries. But we got to stay fully committed to him, because he has our ways. We have to commit our ways to him. God can tell you where you're going. You can pick a spot on the map. I don't even know what we did without GPS, with all on paper maps, but you can pick a spot on the map. If you ain't never been there, you ain't about to go there. So we want God to order our steps. We want to be aware of what it's going to take to get there. We say wholly committed to God. And that brings me to what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Go to Matthew 22. You're blessed because you wholly committed to God. My life, Sister Smudgy, remind me to pray for you before you get out of here. This is her last Sunday. The Air Force taking her over there on a deployment, but she really on vacation. You know the Air Force don't work. But I'm just kidding. But, Matthew 22, we want to be wholly committed to God because we blessed. And anytime you wholly committed to God, you blessed. Life ain't always fair, so you can't always judge it initially, naturally. Life ain't always fair, so that's not no barometer to say whether you blessed or not. You just got to already know. How do you know? Your attitude is different in comparison to somebody else who's going through the same stuff. Because your attitude is really a reflection, watch this, of what you think, what you feel, what you believe. Did you know that? Your attitude, how it comes out of you. Angry is because you're upset about the course or something. Maybe God has said. Depressed, you don't believe you can have what God has said. Worried, anxious, you don't think God gonna show up on time. Tell somebody, say, he may not come when you want him. He always on time. It's important to believe God. And in Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus talks about that this is the chief commandment. Chief commandment. And it's chief because, again, it determines your devotion. It determines your love walk for God first. My love walk to God first daily. You have to ask yourself, where is your devotion to God if you can live without him daily? Were you? Because sometimes we think we got strong relationships with God and we don't. Because we can live without them daily. You wasn't on there, but I was sharing. She was taking care of the kids. But I was sharing with them during the marriage things. I was listening to a song. It's a religious song. But really, I was thinking about my wife. Almost a song like you could sing at a wedding or something like that. But I was thinking about her, and I was thinking, what would my life be like without her? Like, I couldn't live without her. And I don't want to say I can't live without her because I teach that. You don't want to. But I was really thinking like that. What would my life be? How would that alter my life if my wife wasn't there? It would alter it drastically. It would alter it drastically. And because I'm devoted to her. So like I'm in the military. I didn't like hanging out. I'll hang out with people if she was there. I didn't want to hang out with them if she wasn't there. I'm not going to no gym with y'all. I got a gym in my house. And my woman, what I'm devoted to is there. I'm on my way home. See, when you can't live without somebody, it establishes where your love really is at. I don't love things above her. I'm never dressing better than her. My hair ain't gonna be manicured better than hers. Are you following what I'm saying? She's going to represent my glory. Your love walk with God should be the exact same way. I'm devoted to him. I want to make sure that what he's called me to is esteemed above anything that I could even ask or think or anything that I would need. So when you think about devoted love, what does your love look like to God? And then he says the second is like this. He said, you shall love your neighbor. I love this more than yourself. And what God had put in my heart, he says, many people teach this. Now, and I stopped right here last week that they are to love themselves above others. That self-love is a priority, but it was never no priority to Jesus. What happens is, Dickness Avery, we already live in probably the most selfish time in the history of humanity. People already love themselves. I don't care if they got a good life or a terrible life. Many times they esteem themselves above everybody else. And people teach their kids that. So you're dealing with a selfish generation, watch this, that already puts themselves above everybody else, and now you're telling them to focus more attention already on their selfish self, and now people want God to move. But that's not the pattern. And this is why Jesus says, scarcely would a righteous man lay down his life for a friend. You'll hardly ever see that. And you'll see it sometime in combat. You'll see that happen. It don't happen a whole bunch. You'll have leaders who know they send them people in the harm's way. They know they're not coming back. Sometimes you got to make those decisions. And rather than saying, y'all might die here, I'm going with y'all. Oh, no. They watching it on the screen. Come on, Jesus. They watching it on a screen. Because scarcely will a righteous person lay down their life. How many know that I'm so glad Jesus laid down his life for me? He come 42 generations to die for us because the blood of bulls and goats could not do it. Why couldn't the blood of bulls and goats do it? Because animals are not at the same value as a human. Animal lovers. An animal is not equivalent to the life of a human. So it would be like this. It would be like this, Dick and Strange. You go into a bank. And you owe a certain amount. They say, if you don't pay it on by the first, we're going to turn your name over to the creditors. And then you bring in 50%. Do you think they say that's okay? No. You brought 50% of what you owe. You come back the next week, you bring 30%. Now you add 80%. They don't say the debt is clean. You paid the 80%. Just call it even. No. They say, where the other 20% at? Because you haven't given me enough to equal the balance. You can't go into a grocery store and they say, ma'am, your total is $75 and you break out $65. Then people are going to stand at you and look at you crazy because it's not of equal value. An animal is not at equal value to humanity, and therefore no animal could have saved us. This is why Jesus had to come. It couldn't even be another man because all men are born into sin, and because we're born into sin, that automatically puts us at a place where we don't have enough to pay for all of our sin. So Jesus has to come. Oh, I'm so glad he came. Somebody of value that God would turn from us, and he was committed to us, watch this, all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross. Do you know the truth of it is, when they had Jesus on the cross, they telling him to come down. He said, I can call forth legions of angels. Mm-hmm. And just handle this right. Handle all y'all right now. I won't even need no legion for you. But yet he stayed right there. People talking about him. I'm dealing with this, talking about wholly committed to God. He was wholly committed to us. He didn't ever say a mumbling word. He said he was like he's the sheep going to the slaughter. He never had nothing to say because he knows he's in his purpose. Why is he going to be arguing and talking and going crazy with people when he know that the persecution that he's going through was a part of his purpose? Are you following what I'm saying? And therefore, there's no need for him to argue with people who don't even understand his purpose. Many of you are arguing with people about your purpose and they don't even understand what you created to. And you trying to defend a person that's already been crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, you're the one who living now. That person is dead. You don't have to defend what the old man did. Say, I'm crucified with Christ. Because of it, I'm wholly committed to him. I tell people, I ain't got a life and then another life with Christ. I don't have a life. This is my life. What am I going to go back to? What am I going to do? Who am I going to do it with? Say, I'm sticking with Jesus. So, watch this. 2023, we got to work hard on fixing some relationships. Loving people the right way. And I'm going to tell you why. Is because, like, if you get hurt or you get offended, it is so damaging to your spirit. Mm-hmm. It can being hurt or being in pain change you. Get surgery and have somebody come up and grab your arm that you just had surgery on and see, don't you slap the devil out of them. somebody you love, it changed you just that quick. Because pain will make you act out of character. This is how you know so many people ain't healed from their past. Preach, Holy Ghost. Because people not delivered from where they say God brought them from. Do you know you can be out of a situation and still be in a situation? Physically, you out of it. But really, the person who you really are, because this is just the body, physically you out, but you really still in. And that's why when you see them, you have hatred in your heart. You want God to pay them back. You want something vile to happen to them. Because you know what you did to me. I serve you notice to tell you today that really the devil was behind all that. He the one throwing his rocks and, oh yeah, you got it, you heard it. Throwing, hiding his hands. And this is why Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you know it, but what? Against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. Watch this. And they assigned against you. Satan is a spirit. Demons are spirits. And they parallel God in this area is that just like God needs a body, they got to have a body. And do you know they will use anybody? That's why you say, that's why you want to stay prayed up. Anybody that's empty and open, the devil would use them. So oftentimes you get hurt or offended by somebody that you care about. Somebody you love. Watch this. Somebody you committed to, but they ain't committed to you. Say, God is here to heal today. God is here to heal to. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Say, God is here to heal today. Mm-hmm. But they wasn't committed to you. And this is why when you think about it from this angle right here, you got to work hard to get past this. God has said to me this morning, I put it in my heart. He said that many of you was on the right track in your walk with him. He said, and watch this, until you got hurt. And the pain made you compensate for your protection. Preach, Holy Ghost. And the more you meditated on what they did, the situation, the enemy helped you formulate a strategy, watch this, that didn't stop the pain, but it altered your spirit. Say, help us, God. Help us, God. Help. He says, but the Lord say, I would have blessed you out of that. I would have changed your life out of that. I would have given you an anointing out of that. In essence, he says, I wanted to use your life as a life lesson, but you wouldn't let me. I'm telling somebody today, God still wants to use your life as a life lesson. Say, I got a testimony. I got a test. I need to be healed, but I got a testimony. You don't know what I've been through. You weren't there when I went through it. You didn't care while I was going through it, but God got me out of it. I got a testimony. And I need to be healthy. I need to be whole. I need to be in a place where I don't defame the Holy Spirit's character that lives into me. Say, I got a testimony. In other words, just because people did you dirty don't mean that you have to be dirty. In essence, you don't have to pay people back just because of what they did to you. Just because they did you dirty, you don't have to be dirty. Choose the type of vessel that you're going to be. Are you going to be a clean vessel or a dirty vessel? Are you going to be an angry vessel or a happy vessel? Are you going to be a whole vessel or an incomplete vessel? Choose the type of vessel you're going to be. Are you going to be a loose vessel or somebody that's tight in God? Choose the type of vessel that you're going to be. But whatever it is, I'm not going to let the devil change me. My change is only coming by the direction of the Holy Ghost. Tell somebody, say, choose who you're going to be. Because it made some people dirty. If you grudging hearted, your heart is dirty. When I say grudging hearted, mean that that person can't apologize to you enough. I'm going to help somebody up in here. They can't say sorry enough to you. Because every time you're looking for a time where they can pay you enough, but I already told you they can't pay enough. So they keep apologizing. They keep telling you they're sorry. But the reason why you're stuck in unforgiveness, because you're stuck in a grudging hearted spirit. And as you ask God to change your heart, that you can release yourself from the pain. Because sometimes, watch this, you got to sometimes give yourself permission to be healed. God has already healed you. God has already extended healing unto every man, boy, woman, and girl. He's already told you what he's willing to do, what he has already paid for. But you have to forgive, allow yourself to be healed. Say, heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. Say, cleanse me, O Lord, and I'll be cleansed. Say, wash me, O Lord, and I'll be white as snow. But I know I'm not going to change unless you get involved. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand of praise. You're not going to change until somebody ought to give the Lord a hand. You're not going to change until you allow yourself to be healed. And this is what's happening in the body of Christ. Romans 9, please. This is what's happening to people. And churches are begging God to move. And God said, I can't move in that place. There's too much hate in there. I can't move in that place. There's too much unforgiveness in there. I can't move in that place. There's too much bitterness in their heart. How can I bless them past that? You know, if you've really been sick, it don't matter if it's your birthday, you're still sick. Meaning that God can do good things for you, but because you're so bitter, you can't even enjoy how he's blessing you. It don't matter if it's your birthday, if your arm, you broke your leg is still broke. You don't feel like celebrating, even though people brought you the choicest gift, the best gold, the nicest diamond. You don't feel like enjoying it because you still, God is trying to heal some people. Say, heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. Wash me, O Lord, and I'll be clean. Choose the type of vessel you're going to be going forward. Dirty or clean. It's up to you. It's not up to God. But you know, the worst kind of person, Romans 9, to get in a relationship with, you don't ever want to get in a relationship once with somebody who we say is on the rebound. Rebounding from what is the question? Well, my baby daddy cheated on me. My husband and my wife cheated on me. How about we just email for a while? Hey, mama, you, my daddy used to beat on me. My mama used to talk crazy to me. You're not healed. I try to teach people this. If they can make sure the heat is off, don't get in no relationship with a person and you the therapist. Preach, Holy Ghost. See, I mean, you connecting with them through their pain. But you don't go home with them, so really you ain't dealing with their pain, but you connecting with, I'm gonna help somebody, you connecting with them through their pain. And then now you're married and now you're complaining about their pain. Because they complain. But you say, don't connect with nobody that's broken. You deserve 100%. Let them get healed first. Ask them, why ain't you healed? Jesus can heal you. Why ain't you healed? Why ain't you happy? I'm happy because I went through this in my life. Well, me spending all my money, you don't want Taco Bell. Oh, that's not going to make you happy by taking you to the finest restaurants. Say, heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. But you got to choose to be healed. He says in Romans 9:21, has not, because God would have blessed somebody had you just went through and gave him the glory out of it. You would have gotten a different anointing for it. You don't get anointings right here. No, that's how people think they get it. That's not how you get no anointing. You grow through something. You win in that area, and the oil is your payment. You go through in that area. You win in that area, and the oil is your payment. That's how you set captives free. Some of you, you feel you if as you trust God in this season with your life and what you've been through, you're going to see other people attracted to you, and they're going to be delivered from your oil initially. And they're going to follow you here because you've went through and you've won. Say, I need my payment today, Lord. Mm-hmm. He said the potter has not the potter no right to make from the same lump of clay one vessel for special use and another for ordinary use. Why is that important? Because some of us don't like who we are. We like who somebody else is. So we study their life because they look special and I look ordinary. But God says he created you the way he wanted you, that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Celebrate your own life. Study your own life. Learn from other people's life, but not at your personal expense. Meaning that I'm not going to pay so much attention to you and what God is doing to, for you, that I don't position myself for God to do what he's going to do through me. The more I get fixated with you, I don't appreciate what God is doing for me, because I really want to be you. I really want the man you got. I want the woman you got. I want the house you got. I want the car you got. I want the job you got. I want the degree you got. I really don't like who I am. I really want to be you. But tell somebody, say, can't nobody be me being me. That's a good place to go to the Lord. You should learn how to celebrate you. Because can't nobody beat you being you. You might be ordinary, but in God's eyes, you know, you still special. Man only makes that distinction down here, but God said that you're special in his eyes. Say, I'm not ordinary. He says, but what if God, willing to demonstrate his wrath to make known his power? Remember, I told you God would have gave some of us different anointings. That's how he going to demonstrate his power. When we go through what he wants us to go through, allow us going to make known his power. Do you know there's so much going on in the world today that people don't really even respect people who they think ain't went through nothing. Because what younger people are figuring out, they don't know this, but they know this, is that you was able to do that because you gifted. But I'm not really interested in this alone. What was the struggle and how did you recover from that fall? How did you recover from a near-death experience? How did you recover from losing your marriage to getting the same woman or the same man back filled with the Holy Ghost? How y'all do that? What am I saying? Your struggle and your pain is worth more to people than your success alone. What you went through is more valuable to people than what you parade around them. Everybody say everybody look good in public. But they want to know how you survived ugly, how you survived death, how you survived, I'm not saying ugly, when your life is so messed up that you don't want to comb your hair, brush your teeth, take no bath, put on no clean. Don't look at nobody, just say how you survived ugly. When your life is so ugly, you don't want to bring nobody into your life, but you look at you now. Everybody look good in public, though. Say, my life is worth something. You're already blessed. You're already blessed. So he says, watch this. He says, but what if God, willing to demonstrate his wrath to make known his power, has endured with much patience the objects of wrath prepared for destructions? What do I mean by that? Sometimes God don't want to get the people back who did you wrong. He want to save them. He don't want to destroy them. You want to destroy them because you're not healed. He paid for sinners. He said, while we was a rich undied, while we was a rich undone, he died for the ungodly. Yeah. While we was in our mess, Jesus saw us in the future and he died for that. Before we was ever born, he saw what you did to your spouse, and he paid for that. What you did to your children, and he paid for that. Yes, there's some kids that's got some scars from some things that we did. I definitely know my kids probably got scars, not physical scars. I probably whooped them maybe five. I probably on one time I can count. I should have whooped them a lot more. They'd have been a lot better though. But I know they got some scars that I created in their life. God paid for that. Why I got to keep apologizing? You 35, you 47, you 53, you 70 now. You had time to get healed. You've heard the message of healing over and over. You've had opportunity to be healed. You know why you didn't get healed? Because you like being mad. God is here to solve your madness today. He's here to solve crazy spirits today. Say, God is here to heal today. Today. It's going to cost you so much to live in that condition. Mm-hmm. He says, and what if he is willing to make known the wealth of his glory on the objects of mercy? Who's the objects of mercy? The objects of mercy are people in sin who need mercy. Jesus says, I didn't come for people that was healthy and healed. I come for the people that's sick. I come for people who sick and didn't know they were sick. Watch this. This is how the devil got me in the hospital a while back. Mm-hmm. I was sick and didn't know I was sick. By the time I figured it out, the situation was bad. It was bad enough to admit me. And this is what's happening to people. People be sick and they don't even know they sick. They think they good. And the whole time, my body was telling me that I wasn't good, Sister Brooks. And do you know what I did? Every day my wife would tell me, go to the emergency room. This is like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. First of all, I didn't think I didn't have time, but had I not listened, I didn't realize that I really didn't have no time not to be listening. Watch this. I kept getting up every day, Sister Sanders, saying, I'm going to get better. Mm-hmm. I'm a faith man. I'm going to get better. But I wasn't getting better. I was getting worse. This is how the devil do us. God be trying to tell us that you're not good. And the whole point was, watch this, sister, is that I didn't have a trust for doctors because in 10 years I had 10 different doctors. So I wouldn't trust what anybody was saying with my personal help. I can figure it out. I got Google. I can figure it out. I can read my symptoms. I can figure it out. But I had 10 doctors in 10 years, so I didn't trust them. A lot of times, you stay sick because God be trying to administer medication spiritually to it, but you don't trust the speaker. They telling you the right things. The matter of fact, none of them told me anything wrong. I just didn't trust what they saying. What if God sent you today? If you're going to be here, surely you should trust the man and woman of God that's speaking to you so you can get. So I want to be back. I want to be right. I want to be better. I want to be good. I want to be right. I want to be better. I want to be good. I want to be right. I want to be better. I want to be good. At some point, you're going to have to trust the message. At some point, you're going to trust the messenger. Why? Because faith comes by hearing the word. You've heard from the Lord today. God wants you healed. You heard from the Lord today. You could have gotten a great anointing out of this. So I want to be healed. Say, heal me, O Lord. Watch this. He says, in 25, he says, I will call those who were not my people, my people. And I will call her who was unloved, my beloved. Say, I belong to Jesus. He belongs to me. I'm his beloved. Say, I belong to Jesus. He belongs to me. I'm his beloved. What is he trying to get us to see, though? Sometimes, because how you've been made, you don't have to have permission to start prophesying over situations. I ain't talking about into other people's life. I'm talking about over your life. Sometime you have to stand in the mirror and say, I'm better than this. Sometimes you got to come out of an argument, walk right in the bathroom, look right at yourself and say, self, you better than this. You know you was right. Call out your own stuff to yourself. You know you shouldn't have said that. You know you shouldn't have done that. You know you shouldn't have been over there. Self, you better than this. Self, you shouldn't be acting like this. Self, you shouldn't be acting like this. You shouldn't have this hatred in your heart. Say, I'm better than this. Self, you know you can live better than this. Self, you can know you can. Say, I'm better than this. And sometimes you have to start prophesying to self when self is in dung, when self is in a valley, when self is depressed, when self is hurt, when self is angry. Shout, I'm better than this three times.
Mm-hmm.
Before this service over, God gonna do some reversal in some people's lives. I said, before this service over, God gonna reverse. And do you know how you gonna tell when you get home your attitude ain't gonna be the same? When you show up at work, your attitude gonna be different. It ain't like you gotta walk around and tell people you changed. I'm telling you how it's gonna be, because as God is working on your soul and your thinking and your attitude today, even as I'm speaking to you, God is yet working on you. You changing right now. You changing as God is, as I'm speaking unto you. The Holy Ghost is doing what he need to do, and you ain't even been to sleep yet. Come on, talk to me. But you're gonna be different. Your attitude is gonna reflect. Say, something is happening in my heart. Come on, touch yourself. Say, something is happening to me. Something is happening to me. You don't want to live like that. You don't want to live like that. You want to be right with God. Say, my bitterness is coming, going to sweetness. Proverbs 18. We got to work on relationships. Bad. Because God's not going to use you like that. I'm telling you the truth. This is one of the main catalysts that the devil is using right now to really like kill off the Spirit of God in churches, is that people have so much stuff in their heart. And they praying and they preaching and they prophesying and they singing and they laying hands in the sound booth, the children's ministry. And they say, God won't move. Say, it's a heart problem. Mm-hmm. There's stuff in people's heart. They just won't deal with it for whatever reason. The older you get, the truth of it is, you start realizing you ain't got much time. You see people as they age, things people did with them don't even bother them no more, and they ain't forgot them. Time has healed them, and they know, I can't live like this and be close to God. He not gonna permit it. I say, he not gonna permit it. And people think they be hearing and all this other stuff, and a lot of time, you know what be happening, Sister Brianna? God be talking to them about them. He'd be talking to us about us. Ask yourself this, because this will show how close or how far you've been from God over the last few years. Think of five changes that personally that you know has really happened in you. Mm-hmm. Five, like bam, 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 bam. I don't do this no more. I ain't got no problem with this person no more. And that'll prove how close we've been to God or how far we've been away from God. Because you can't come nigh to him like that. Even though he would allow it, it's something about us that we know there's certain areas we're not getting in to God like that. We know it. Say, God is healing today. Can y'all take a few more minutes? I'm not sure how long I've been up here. Can y'all, somebody tell me? But it's about time to close. I'm going to have to find a place to stop. In Proverbs 18 and 19, put that up there for me. Proverbs 18 and 19. He says, a brother offended, not a stranger. Most of our heart issues didn't come from the public. And we in the public all the time. It came from somebody that meant something to you. He says, it's harder to be won than a strong city, a fortified city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So why is this like that? The spirit of offense, watch this, keeps you from loving like God. Right. We live in a fallen world. I know over time, if you stay with us for many more years, at some point, I know you may say something or do something that offend me. It shouldn't change my love for you, though. You know if you're going to stay with a person to death do you part, don't kill them today either. So I'm only going to be, I know, Pastor, I'm only going to be offended for about one more hour. But do you know if you're going to stay with somebody to death do you part, you're going to be offended sometimes. So why would we think any other thing? When I was preparing this, the Lord had placed in my heart Proverbs 8. He said that there are many people in churches. He said they offended with folks in their church, and yet every Sunday they begging me to move or do the miraculous. Every week they come in and asking God to do. No, what needs to happen is God needs to roll the stones and boulders away from your heart. From my heart, from our heart. We need the boulders. And then what should happen? We let the Holy Ghost in. Say, come on in, Jesus. We let the Holy Ghost in. And once he's in, he know how to heal you. He's the only physician that can heal you and not hurt you. He knows exactly what it's going to take to get you out that condition and get you back going. He knows exactly where the brokenness. He don't need no 5-hour surgery. I've seen people be in surgery. My brother was in surgery for almost 17 hours, I believe it was. And they had like 5 different physicians that was working on him because he had brain cancer. And they was doing surgery on him and they was tagging out. But how many know that God can make the right incision, get in and get out, put you back together, send you on your way in a split second, say, come on, Jesus. It don't take that long to be healed. You can be better if you want to be better. He said, and people are begging me to do something. I'm going to stop right there. I'll pick back up next week. Because God wants us to be wholly committed to him, but you can't be wholly committed to him if you ain't whole. You can't be walking around saying that I'm good and you're not good. Yeah. It's interesting. My wife went to the physician and they were pointing out all these things because, you know, especially like if you're in ministry, we have these tendencies to care for everybody but ourselves. Do you know the worst thing that you can do, Sister Lisa, as a preacher, it's get stuck in the mindset of preparing messages for other people, and you need to be healed. Mm-hmm. It's like a mother. A good mother do it, a good father do it. They'll take their kids to the doctor, but won't go themselves. Who am I talking to? You've been taking everybody to Jesus, but you need to come. You've been pointing everybody to the rock that's higher than I, and yet you hadn't even had your annual checkup. We haven't even examined our own heart. I told my wife, I said, I purpose, something that came to my mind. And sometimes I'll be talking and I'll be bouncing ideas on it. And I was finna say something and the Lord checked me. And he reminded me of what he told me. He says, refuse to use your mouth as a weapon against your members or anybody you love. Don't hurt them any worse than they already hurt. The devil kicking everybody in the butt. Don't join him. The devil doing something to everybody in here. I'm not going to help him do anything to you. Say, I won't harm you with the words of my mouth. Say, I won't harm you with the words of my mouth. Say, I'm for you. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm not talking about my kids. I ain't talking about my members. I'm not talking about our partners. I'm not talking about people. Because the devil needs people's words. I'm telling the God honest truth. And so as you're talking about people, as you're talking about people, what's really happening? You're revealing a condition of your heart. Are y'all getting anything? Yes, you revealing where your heart is really at, where you need help at. And he's been a master. He being the devil, I'm telling you, he has been the master of using people's words because we have been so ignorant and not knowing how damaging or effective they could be. But say, even if I've been hurt by your words, I forgive you. I want God to heal me. Say, I forgive you. I want God to heal me. I ain't living like this. Man, as God heal us over, you watch and see. As God still, because this, you know, I'm human. I don't say it to compensate for the fact of what I said or didn't say, but I'm human. But as we get this down in our hearts, certain things, you should be eating it up this year. Don't listen one time. As we get this in our hearts and in our spirits and in our souls, we're going to see some miraculous things start to happen in our individual lives. We're going to see God work some things out in our families that we never thought would be worked out. You'll see God work things out in ministries where people have aunts, because what the church has really done to people, we ain't gave people an opportunity to be honest about how they really felt. And then say, God, I know this ain't right. I remember my mom was quick with her, you know, her words. But the beauty about it, no matter what people said to her, I remember her sister Erica getting in that green station wagon. You remember that green station wagon? And going to people's house that maybe she said something to hurt them. No, they didn't get in the bed like that. Driving over there, apologizing, picking up that phone, that telephone. We had a telephone with like a 50-foot cord on it, like for real. Like for real, for real. Like 50 feet or 100 feet something. We had cell phones before cell phones. We'd be all in the kitchen cooking with that long cord, burning it all up over the oven. Y'all know y'all had them long cords too. We had them. Shame the devil. And I remember her getting that white phone hung on the wall in the kitchen, pulling it to the dining room and apologizing to people. Some of us got some apologies. Say, start the day. If they did, sometimes that's people's punishment. They die and we still got offense in our heart. And we never get it right with them. I'm speaking to families right now. They die and we never get it right with them. Now we're trying to crawl in the casket. How many know they're not there? You can't apologize because ain't no sense in going to no graveyard and even talking about it. Because they're not even in the graveyard. Say, we don't talk to the dead. Visit it, clean it up, and get up out of there. You stay there long enough doing that, the devil will answer you. Preach, Holy Ghost. You do that long enough, you're going to open yourself up to a spirit and the devil going to start talking to you. And once he get in, he going to try to torment you. But you get healed while you have an opportunity to be healed. And you get stuff right with people while you got an opportunity. Say, tomorrow ain't promised to nobody. Tomorrow not promised to nobody. Nobody. Life is like a vapor. Here today, even if you live another 50 years, you know what? It's going to go by just like that. You know, just yesterday I had all my hair. Seemed like yesterday. Much better than y'all's, to my ways would be like boats. I can show you how to do it. I ain't got much hair. Won't lay down no more. I'm working my way back, though. Let's stand to our feet and give the Lord a good hand of praise. Say, get it right today. Come on, say, get it right today. Say, get it right today. You don't never know. You never know. All of our days are numbered. You don't know what number you on. You don't know what day somebody on. Say, get it right today. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for your word. We wholly commit ourselves to you on this year. Whatever's broken, whatever's damaged, whatever's not.